Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Sandra Ingerman. And Sandra Ingerman is a writer, a scientist, and a shaman. Teaches shamanism. I hope that's right. Correct description of you, Sandra.
Well, my master's in counseling psychology, and I teach shamanism mostly in the U.S. but around the world too.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I just was around you last night. We're just meeting now as we're doing this interview, but I went to a little workshop that you did last night at the Bioneers. It wasn't so little. There were a lot of people there, actually. I shouldn't call it little. And I found it very impressive, found in the way that you presented very impressive, which is why I was especially interested to do an interview with you. I want to let people know that you've also written several books. Soul Retrieval, Mending the Fragmented Self is one. Welcome Home, Following Your Soul's Journey Home is another. A Fall to Grace is another. And the one that we are most concerned with right here and now is Medicine for the Earth, How to Transform Personal and Environmental Toxins. And I went to the workshop because, wow, I mean, if we can transform these toxins that are, I mean, the physical ones as well as the emotional, psychological ones, which I kind of am more used to thinking about transforming those things, but if we can actually transform these poisons, which, well, people are particularly aware of now with anthrax and I don't know whatever's going on in the sky, but there's, I mean, our whole environment is so polluted that it's a very, very serious thing. And people are often quite powerless, and it's just going from, or they feel quite powerless, and it's kind of going from bad to worse, actually. And it is going from bad to worse. And I think that, speaking for myself, I certainly have been feeling a lot of despair and hopelessness, and I know I'm not alone. So I found your workshop last night very right on the mark. And you said a lot of really deep things that I've heard before, but they take a lifetime to get, possibly. But the way that you presented was just so grounded and centered. That's why I really wanted to talk to you, so I want to share that with the audience. And I was particularly also impressed by the fact that you started out as a scientist, and somehow, even though I'm not a scientist, I'm much more into the shamanism and therapy kinds of approaches. Somehow that impressed me, and I'm sure it will impress other people. So I'd like you to start out by just telling a little bit about yourself like you did last night.
Sure. Back in 1978, I got my BA in marine biology from San Francisco State University. And I also worked at San Francisco State. I was a staff member there. And my job was 9 months a year. So I had to find work the other 3 months of the year. And so I'd go up to Oregon, to this little town in Tiller, where I had some friends every summer. And I'd work for the Forest Service, pine cone picking, putting out fires, firefighting, all that. And I had the great opportunity to spend a lot of time by the South Umpqua River, which is such a beautiful river. So after I got my BA, I decided to go on for my master's, and my thesis proposal was going to be on the reversal of river pollution, because I really wanted to see the rivers of the world being cleaned up, and that was back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what they're like now. And as I was talking to a graduate school in Washington about my thesis proposal, and they were very excited about it and about me coming there, I realized that I wasn't a scientist. And so I decided to go back to another love of mine, which was working with people. And I signed up for a master's degree in counseling psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies, where I had the great opportunity to meet Michael Harner, who's an anthropologist who has looked at shamanism in different cultures around the world and try to take out what was the core of shamanic practices. And in the core of shamanism is the shamanic journey, where the shaman can go into invisible worlds and contact helping compassionate spirits. So this was about in 1980 for me. And so for the last 20 years, I had a very profound experience with Michael, but for the last 20 years, I took up shamanic journeying as a practice and have been teaching it. I focused my own shamanic journeys on this issue of reversing environmental pollution and asking the spirits for help. Because I really feel that we have done so much damage to the environment, and I just don't know if science is going to figure this one out. They're going to do some good, but I think that we have to pull in every system possible and work with the spiritual as well as the scientific community, as well as the environmental activist community. We all have to work together, and we all have pieces to share together. So between my journeys and researching the alchemical literature, the old yogic Taoist literature, the Egyptian literature, the Bible, the Kabbalah, and the shamanic literature, of course, I started to look at what were the core elements of miracles and how can we take what the ancient people and what the mystics knew about performing miracles and bring them into our environmental situation today and do what the alchemists would call transmutation, which is taking a toxic substance and changing it into something else. And the alchemists are known for being able to turn lead into gold, but what they really did was turn heavy-leaded consciousness into gold, light consciousness. And so from my journeys, the most powerful message that I got was it's who we become that changes the world, not what we do. And so I had to start looking at the alchemy of the soul. How can we transmute our negative beliefs, attitudes, energy from our feelings so that we're not putting out more toxins into our environment? But from reading all the texts that I did, a formula just naturally emerged for me on what needs the components, the elements that go into transmutation. And the formula that I came up with, it's a hologram. You can't take things separately, but I'll talk about them separately, which is intention plus love plus union plus concentration plus focus plus harmony plus imagination equals transmutation. And so we all know that in all spiritual work, we have to set an intention of what we want. So intention is a key element. Love is the great transformer. Love heals. Techniques don't heal. Love heals. Union, if you look at miracles around the world of Jesus, the different Indian saints, Taoist mystics, all cultures around the world, there's some kind of union element with a divine force when miracles happen. Harmony. In alchemy, we talk about that harmony within creates harmony without. And disharmony is what causes disease. So harmony is a very important point. Concentration. We must be able to concentrate on what it is that we're doing, the practices, the ceremonies that we're doing. Focus. We have to be able to maintain a long-term focus and not lose our focus right now people are getting so distracted by the news that people are losing their focus, and it's so key right now for people to keep their focus. Imagination. Caroline Casey has a wonderful line, imagination lays the tracks for the reality train to drive down. And shamans around the world believe that we're dreaming the wrong dream. And to change the dream, because we are the dreamers right now, to change the dream, we need to use our imagination. We need to move out of a place of despair, and we need to be able to imagine unlimited possibilities for the planet right now. And if you put all of those elements together, you get transmutation. So after I wrote Medicine for the Earth, I decided to experiment, see if this works. And so I started working with a physicist and a small group of people, and we took deionized water, which is water that has nothing in it. It's even purer than distilled water. And we put ammonium hydroxide into it. Ammonium hydroxide is a very common pollutant today on the planet that comes from decaying organic material. But the way it binds with other pollutants, it makes other pollutants more serious, like petroleum. So it's a very big problem on the planet today. And the reason we decided to use ammonium hydroxide is it's so easy to test for with pH strips, so that we could test our progress as we were working. And we used the elements that I wrote about in Medicine for the Earth, and we worked with a ceremony that I had put together where we not only call in the helping spirits, but we find our own divinity. We transfigure, shapeshift into a divine force ourselves, with the understanding that as we move into complete harmony, the water will reflect that back to us. And that's exactly what happened. The first experiment that we did, we started with a pH of 12. A pH of 12 would kill you immediately if you drank this water. We moved during the ceremony to a pH of 9. 9, the EPA does consider safe to drink. I wouldn't drink that water, but it would be safe to drink. And we've replicated it every single gathering I've done, every ceremony, every workshop. We've replicated it. The people who have studied with me and have taken this work out into the world, we've replicated it.
How many times? Like hundreds of times? 10 times?
Well, we've been working for 2 years, so I've done it with groups about 10 to 15 times, and then I have other students out there, including Austria. I have a student out there who's getting great results in Austria. So I'd say that we've replicated it at least 20 times now. And in one workshop that we did, we had one beaker of water with nitric acid, because we're concerned about acid rain, and the other beaker with the ammonium hydroxide at the same time. They were sitting next to each other. And the nitric acid went from a pH of 2 up to a 4, which an acid has to go up. The ammonium hydroxide went from an 11 down to a 9, both simultaneously. So they both started to balance themselves out. The amazing thing about pH 2 and the change that we've gotten is every change of pH is to the is an exponential change to the 10th power. So you would see the first change would be going 1 mile. The second change going 10 miles, the third change going to 100 miles. So it's quite a change, and it's absolutely scientifically impossible. We've done all the controls. We've done everything scientists have asked us to do, and it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really, really, really impressive, and we can all do this, as I understand. So, Sandra Ingerman, would you say more about how to do this? And let me ask you first, Medicine for the Earth, How to Transform Personal and Environmental Toxins, your book, put out by Three Rivers Press. Since you said you wrote the book before you started doing this, do you talk about other kinds of things in the book? Which, since I haven't seen the book.
Right. Well, actually, the book is step by step. It takes you step by step how to do this. And so, you know, basically, we use the book to try the experiments. We use the material in the book, yeah. And basically, I think that simple things to start to work with is, again, learning how to find harmony within oneself, knowing that the environment will reflect that back. It's important for us, especially today where fear and anger come up about our environmental situation, is to realize it's okay to have emotions, but the energy that's sent out with those emotions can also be toxic to the environment too. And so it's important for us to go inside of ourselves and find ways, simple ways, to start to change things as they come up. So, for example, let's say that I'm very angry about what's happening. Anger's good. You know, we want to feel the anger. I'm not bashing emotions. But we want to transmute the energy that's coming out of you, that's going out into the environment. So something simple might be thinking about something very precious, like the face of a baby or of a kitten or a baby animal or a flower that you love. And see that image in front of you when you're feeling that anger and turning it to love, turning that energy to love, so that you still can have your emotions, but that the energy going out into the environment is love.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because I remember one of the things you said last night, too. You said the word radiance, if we could come up with a word. I really like that word. Radiance really resonated for me. So this morning, as I was driving, I was angry about something and noticing that feeling and thinking radiance, and that works well for me. So that was good, and yet, you know, you say have the emotion, but of course if you're changing the emotion, you're not having the emotion.
Right.
It's different than, like, really feeling the anger,
right,
for instance. And so I'd like to understand a little bit more about this, because there's a lot of people who say, oh, be positive all the time, and it really has to do with squishing emotions and kind of acting like, and as an activist, I think there's so much denial.
Right.
But a big part of our problem is people not being willing to feel their anger, fear, sadness about what's going on.
Right.
So if you would elucidate.
Sure. In shamanism, something that all cultures understand in indigenous societies is there's a difference between having an emotion and sending the energy. So there's a difference between expressing anger and sending anger. And we don't know the difference in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get angry. I get angry a lot. But when I get angry, I ask for the energy not to be sent to anybody, not to be sent to the environment, not to do any harm, but that that energy be transmuted into a light energy. So I'm still angry. I'm still in my anger, but I'm asking that nothing be sent out into the universe that will be harmful.
Well, it's interesting, because I think just thinking about all those things makes you not angry. I mean, it just takes your mind off the anger and moves it on to another thing. But that's fine. But maybe you want to say more about it, how you say you can still be angry and doing that at the same time. I guess maybe it's too fine a point. But
well, I've worked with this for many, many years, because I wrote about this in Welcome Home back in 1993, and I found for myself that being able to transmute the energy doesn't change the emotion for me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't distract you away.
No, uh-huh. It doesn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yet it's a very positive way to put our focus, especially at this time. And what I was talking about last night, where you got the word radiance, is that if you look at almost all cultures around the world, every creation myth starts with creation came from a sound or a word. And so many ancient cultures believe in the power of word. The Egyptians, their magic was through words. The Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, their miracles all came from words. In the Sanskrit language, every vowel, every syllable is a vibration that gets sent up into the universe and manifests down. And so one way that we can start looking at healing our environment is looking at the energy that we're putting out and also the words that we're using. and start putting out a different energy. I'm not trying to sound new agey here, because this is actually very old agey. But change the vibration that's coming out of us, which will once again be reflected back by our environment.
So give an example of that, if you would.
Well, like last night I was using the word radiance. When you think about the word radiance, there's such a power that comes out of that. And I've actually changed my workshops. I don't call them workshops anymore. When you think of the word workshop, energy drops. So I've been calling them gatherings, mm-hmm. which seems to have a little bit more energy around it. And so looking at the actual magic, I mean, we're looking at so many different levels here. We're looking at what happens politically, what happens scientifically, what environmental activists could do. But in looking at the spiritual aspect, which is a piece that you can't leave out, we've learned with medicine and with psychology, if you don't bring in body, mind, and spirit, you don't get successful long-term results. So basically, we're looking at bringing in another piece to the brilliant work that's already going on. And the spiritual piece has a lot to do with the energy that we put out and the vibration that we're putting out. And so to continue to do the environmental work that we're doing, but also realize there's another level we can operate on, which is as we change our vocabulary, as we use words that actually start to create a positive vibration, as we start to learn how to transmute our energy, we start to become different people. And when we become and shift into a new consciousness, that's how the world starts to change. And it's also important, especially in this time, not to give up our dreams of a healthy environment. We have to keep our dreams of a healthy environment, no matter what we're seeing on the news, no matter what we're being plowed with, because it's what we're putting out there in the world that is also creating the problems that we're having. And we need people to stay focused on being new dreamers. You know, it's very important to really be able to keep our imaginations going on what is possible beyond what we're experiencing right now.
Well, as an activist and a media person, I find myself, and also a person involved in different spiritual traditions and practices, I don't feel like I'm clear about how to handle things sometimes, because what I do is I bring people bad news a lot. Mm-hmm. But I feel that's a very important thing, because people aren't informed. You know, we know the media is controlled and limited, and there's a lot of things are covered up and lied about. And it's really important for people to be informed if they want to change it. And a lot of that stuff is really bad news. It's a big, fat bummer. And that's, but I feel it's really important to do it. I mean, it's important to bring positive alternatives also, which I do. But we can't leave out that. I said it's like the denial. We can't leave out that part. So to do that and still be, I don't know if it's different than being positive, what you're talking about, or what, but to hold, you know, other visions in my mind while dealing with the realities that are not nice at all is very challenging, and I don't even quite know where to begin. And I've been hearing these things for a while, and that's where the New Age stuff comes in. You said earlier, well, say what you said.
Well, it's really old age, because it dates back, you know, over 100,000 years. And what I was talking about earlier with you was that people oftentimes tend to come into spiritual movements because they're trying to do a spiritual bypass. And as I listen to you in what you're talking about of bringing in bad news and it being a bummer, is what you're actually doing is shedding light on situations. And when you shed light on a situation, there's the possibility to transform it. But you can't transform it when you're in a place of denial. So the challenge is, how do we shed light on the darkness that's going on, while also be able to inspire people to keep their focus at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's the challenge that we're facing right now. Yeah.
So know the reality of what's going on in the stories that are not pleasant at all, and keep your focus would be that what is possible, that right. The solutions that there are, and there are in fact plenty of solutions to all the all the problems we have. A lot of people say oftentimes, well, what else can we do? Like there aren't any solutions, but there's zillions of solutions. It's more of a will to do it.
Right, exactly. And so I think that it's so important right now to inspire people, to give people a reason to, why should I keep on going on? Why shouldn't I just give up? And so we want to bring light to what's happening and keep inspiration going at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that helps me a lot because I've been pondering this for a while, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that bringing bad news is also bringing light.
Absolutely. People have to know what's going on because then we have the ability to work with it. If we know what's going on, we have the ability to work with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. So you'd go around the country doing workshops, Sandra Ingerman. And you want to say something real fast about that? And you have a web page?
Yeah, I have a web page called the Transmutation News, which I keep up every month. And the address is www.shamanicvisions.com/ Ingerman, Ingerman .html, and I keep people informed monthly on the work that we're doing with the water and current issues, how to work with them spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Have you actually been around rivers and lakes and stuff cleaning up water?
We have done long-distance work with that. We've been broadcast emailing to people who have studied with me. We have hundreds of people working long-distance at certain times. But we're trying to find a way to actually work with a river that we can test the results before and after. I'm very result-oriented, and that's what we're looking at right now.
Are a lot of people receptive to what you're doing?
Yes, definitely. It's still new out there. I'm still birthing a new idea for people, but there's a great deal of receptivity, and it contains hope, mm-hmm. endless hope.
Yeah, great. And I remember you saying last night, we in this room can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, which I've been hearing again a lot, but somehow it's just felt more concrete.
Yeah. Well, think of how many people it took to change our world on September 11th. We can make a difference, and we all have the power to make a difference.
Okay, well, I'm going to give your web page again. So for those of you who didn't get it, now is the time to try to do it. www.shamanicvisions.com/ Ingerman, Ingerman, .html. So thank you very much. People can also look for your book, Medicine for the Earth, How to Transform Personal and Environmental Toxins. Thanks so much, Sandra Ingerman. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.